Welcome back to 21st Century Radio, continuing with my love of nature and those who also have that same passion. Irvine Nature Center sits on over 116 acres of pristine woodlands and fields in Owings Mills. It sits at the head of the Jones Falls watershed area on Garrison Forest Road. Their education for children, adolescents, teachers, and families is wonderful. Their mission as an environmental education organization is to, quote, educate and inspire current and future generations to explore, respect, and protect nature. Joining us now is Monica Waddell-Lubinsky. Monica is the director of Irvine's preschool, as well as talking about their upcoming Explore Nature preschool conference, June 8th through 9th. Monica, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hi, how are you?
Just fine, thank you. So, firstly, tell us a little bit about the concept for the preschool at Irvine Nature Center, because I know that was an addition over the last couple of years, and it's doing just incredibly.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, the concept behind our nature preschool was, you know, really to fill the demand for this type of programming. We know that a lot of young families encourage their children to play and explore outdoors, but really to marry sort of reading readiness and state standards with the natural world is what we aim to do. So that's the goal behind our nature preschool.
And the preschool, for anybody in the listening audience who either has children who have young children or who are interested in this kind of thing, tell us a little bit about the program itself, because people may not know that there's a half-day option, there's morning, there's afternoon. Can you explain a little bit about the program itself?
Absolutely. So for people that are interested, first off, I invite you to come out and take a tour and see our students in action. And I love to share a lot of details firsthand and answer questions. But the nitty-gritty of it is that you can sign up for 2 days, 3 days, or 5 days for either a morning class or a Tuesday, Thursday, or Monday, Wednesday afternoon class. So the classes run for 2 hours and 45 minutes, and there's an additional what we call lunch bunch option, which you can add on to the end of your morning or, you know, drop your child off an hour earlier before the afternoon class. But that's, you know, basically the time frame that we're working with in terms of that.
And then if anybody hasn't been there, I encourage you to go. And there's a beautiful free exhibit. In fact, going to Irvine is free, though you can become a family member or an individual member. Tell us a little bit about the exhibit and why it was designed the way it is. I mean, it's the only one I know of like it.
Oh, well, again, thank you. Yes, besides our 116 acres of amazing and beautiful grounds and gardens, we do have a nice facility as well that was designed to be eco-friendly, and one of the main features there is an interactive exhibit hall, which we worked closely with the Maryland Science Center to design our exhibits. So you can walk through and you can learn more about the wetlands and the meadow and the woodlands, which are all habitats that we also have on our property. But in addition to that, there are lots of live animals throughout. So we have, you know, diamondback terrapins and box turtles and, you know, hognose snake and corn snakes and, you know, different kinds of frogs. And there's really a lot to see. And many days there's programs going on, so it's not uncommon to see a naturalist or the caretaker bringing a possum out for some sun or feeding one of the animals. And we have an aviary that's just off of a trail that's very close to the nature center, where we have two red-tailed hawks and a couple of screech owls and a barred owl as well. So there's lots of animals, lots of trails, beautiful woodland garden. There's just a lot to do at Irvine.
Yeah, and I know for years I come to the native plant sale. There's also a special thing on bird seed. I mean, Irvine has a very long history, having relocated from its prior place at St. Tim's on Stevenson Road, and instead now has this beautiful, as you mentioned, new facility on Garrison Forest. And when you go there, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't and you'd like an opportunity to just take a beautiful walk through the woods, their trails are exquisite and open up into the Caves Valley area, and it's just beautifully preserved property that's really important for our watershed. Now, you all have a very particular conference coming up that I know you'd like to talk about. It's Explore Nature. It's a preschool conference, and it's June 8th through 9th. Now, what kind of person would come to that?
It is a nature preschool conference, and it's the first annual conference of its kind, and I think that people that are going to be interested in coming to this run the gamut between folks that are currently teaching in a preschool setting but just are looking for ways to do more nature-themed activities with their curriculum, but it also spans all the way to other nature centers all over the nation who are already doing or thinking about doing a nature preschool at their nature center or even in some cases zoos. So lots of different kinds of people are interested, but these are folks that are working with early childhood students, so primarily ages 2 to 5 or even 3 to 5 in our case. And I think that it's not just educators. I think that also administrators who, as I say, are kind of thinking about creating a nature preschool or more of a nature focus in an existing program might be interested in attending.
Now, I also understand that Irvine has an amazing group of volunteers. And again, much of our audience is an older audience, and some people are looking for something to do that they haven't done before. Or maybe they enjoy gardening and now they live in an apartment, and so they don't have an opportunity to do different things. So tell us a little bit about the kinds of things that volunteers do at Irvine.
Well, volunteers are invaluable. We couldn't do any of what we do without our volunteers. They're amazing, an amazing group of people. And they do a lot of different jobs, anything from helping us on the trails and in the gardens, all the way down to helping us care for animals. Some volunteers work with students in the summer nature camps. We even have volunteers that help us, scan photographs or, work on committees for Birdathon or, there's a variety of ways to get involved, and our volunteers have many different kinds of talents. So we utilize them in as many ways as we can. And volunteers are certainly welcome to come and to join our Nature Preschool Conference, too, because many volunteers lead school field trips for us. And so the keynote speaker, David Sobel, is a revered educator, and he's an acclaimed author. And so that's another nice opportunity for everyone, including our volunteers, to come and hear what he has to say.
Well, you also have a wonderful store. I mean, if somebody's looking for gifts for anybody, whether it's books or bird feeders or unusual natural kinds of products for the garden, it's just a beautiful store. And they have great muffins, by the way. So when you look at sort of this movement, before you joined us, Lisa Bodzner, who's Director of Special Programs and is a community educator at Kiam Farm at the Pearlstone Retreat Center, we talked about that there really is this sort of groundswell of a new generation of men and women who understand how necessary committing ourselves to restoring the earth is. I mean, maybe there are people who still want to believe global warming isn't happening, but that's not the fact nor the science. That's just a prejudice that they can go down with. But the truth is that we have a really difficult challenge in front of us earthwide for all people and all natural systems. Tell us a little bit about your own reason for going into this work.
Well, there's a lot of reasons, but I will just say that I think it's important for people to feel connected to the earth. I think it's important for people to feel connected to communities, natural communities and human communities. And whether it's preserving or trying to restore or trying to make others aware of, I feel very passionately that this is something that we need to do. And I think we need to, when I say we, I mean Irvine Nature Center and organizations like us, I feel like we need to try to start this kind of slow cultural change and mindset so that it's not just a select group of people who occasionally like to go to nature centers to do something that's green or eco-friendly, but that rather, we're raising our families this way, which is a lot of what I'm doing with the Nature Preschool. But, you know, that as we grow up, this is just a part of our thinking, and it's a part of our mindset that we need to be more respectful and aware of the earth and our natural resources.
It's when I look back at my own life, my first work in the environment was handing out flyers for a seminar or talk that Ralph Nader was giving in Southeast Baltimore. I was 14 at the time.
Oh, wow.
And that's when I began. That was back in the late 60s. And when I think about how much we all had hoped to be able to stop the kind of exploitation by the oil cartels or the destruction of our waters or the ruination of habitats for so many different kinds of kin, so to speak, that we weren't as successful as we had hoped is a rather difficult thing, truthfully, to adjust to as somebody who's almost 60 years old and has done this for my entire life. But what gives me hope is to know that there are people like you and people like Lisa Bodzner and Kiam Farm and Irvine Nature Center and other groups like yourselves nationwide, if not worldwide, who have the same love of Earth that I have and that my husband has and that other activists like us all these years. But it's do you see a change in your own peer group? I don't even know how old you are, but do you see a change in your peer group? I know you're
I'm
not
34,
my age.
I'll share
okay.
That with you.
All right. So you're the
I do. I definitely do. I think that gradually there are some changes, and I think even just down to the way that we eat and the way that we choose to spend free time, I feel that there are a lot more opportunities for us, even just in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, particularly in the last 15 years that I've been at Irvine, and I do. I start to see some change, and, you know, I have a young child myself, so I find myself in a similar situation as many of our visitors do, you know, being a young family and really thinking about what's important and how you want your child to come up and what sort of world you want your child to come up in. So I would like to believe that there is some change that's happening, and I know that at Irvine Nature Center we're doing all the things that we can to encourage that change.
Well, and there are also programs for adults, so lest you think this is just about a nursery school, it's not. There's also wonderful weekend programs, there's events that happen, there's birding, there's all kinds of instructional things. I missed the bee workshop last year, but you all always have programs, and you've had a beautiful newsletter all these years. I mean, I started at Irvine when my daughter, who's now 25, was 2. And we used to come and play in the nature area where you could just touch everything. And you have currently in your new center a wonderful children's corner where children have an opportunity to touch rocks and snake skin and nests. And tell us a little bit about that hands-on project.
Oh, the kids' corner is great. The kids definitely love it. We have drawers that have different artifacts in them, and there are a lot of different things that the children can actually touch, because touching is important as far as, you know, doing log rolls or, you know, catching insects in a sweep net. And, you know, it's okay to feel nervous about that sort of thing, but we encourage close examination. And for adults who want to get involved, you know, you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be an expert to come out and to just enjoy the trails or take a look at the exhibits. And you don't have to feel like you know all the answers to the questions or what the Latin name is of some animal. That none of that matters. It's just really about the feeling and the time that you're spending there. And you can build on that as interests grow. But there's lots for adults to do too, and our exhibits do have a lot of great information about our local ecology, and I think adults would really enjoy taking a look at that as well.
Well, I've been through it probably 30 times, and I still love it every time. So.
You only find something different each time, right?
Exactly. I notice something new. We're going to take a little break. To our listening audience, you can learn more about all the programs at Irvine Nature Center at explorenature.org. That's explorenature.org. They're located 11201 Garrison Forest Road in Owings Mills, Maryland, right around the corner from where I've spent most of my life, 443-738-9200. That's 443-738-9200. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some of the summer programs.
Next week on 21st Century Radio, did you know there's a hormone in both men and women that creates the opposite of the fight or flight syndrome? Oxytocin is the chemical that makes human beings care for and bond with one another. Sunday 98, 21st Century Radio, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
That's my problem. I have no estrogen. I just have oxytocin. Well, 21st Century Radio. That's a woman's joke in menopause, if I ever heard one. Welcome to 21st Century Radio. I'm Zoe Hieronymus. Joining us currently is Monica Waddell-Lubinsky. Monica is the director of the preschool at Irvine Nature Center on their Explore. And we've been talking about a lot of things, but they have an upcoming Explore Nature preschool conference June 8th. Through 9th. Again, you can learn more at explorenature.org and you can call them at 443-738-9200. So you have had a wonderful summer program for very many years. And in fact, my daughter Anna, who I mentioned earlier, who is just now 25, happy birthday, Anna, went there one summer for, I can't remember what it was called, Toads and Wiggles or something.
Aww.
But tell us a little bit about the summer program.
Well, we offer a really extensive summer nature camp series of programs, really camps, and they span many different age groups, and you can sign up for 1 week or you can sign up for multiple weeks with the camps, and there's really something for everyone. There are camps like the aquatic camp where they do different adventures with different, you know, visiting different aquatic habitats throughout the week. We even have camps for 2 and 3 year olds where they come for a week with their caregiver and learn about nature and meet some animals and things. There's lots of different options and a lot of fun happening all summer long at Irvine Nature Center.
When these are designed, I mean, not everybody in our audience is an educator, but both our guests tonight are professional educators, yourself and Lisa Bodsner at Kiam Farm. And you all have an approach to education, like any educator, which tries to look at whole systems and whole cycles. So when you, for instance, take a group of boys who maybe more than the girls are interested in digging up the worms and the toads. I don't know if things have changed in culture, that it's really not men, boys and girls anymore, but just everybody. Are there things that the little boys like and that the little girls don't, or that the little girls like and the boys don't?
Oh, that's really an interesting question. I really believe it depends on the group. I find that a lot of little girls love digging in the dirt just as much as the boys, and unfortunately there are some times where it's more that maybe some of the little girls feel as if they need permission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think sometimes it's more culturally accepted for boys to enjoy that, but I think that's changing, and I would say, though, in terms of the preschool age group that I work with, boys tend to want to communicate with each other more physically than girls, usually.
Things haven't changed.
I call them little fox cubs. They just want to roll around on in the grass and tumble.
Well, you've worked with a lot of children, and, you know, there's a beautiful book, Last Child in the Woods.
Yes.
Which you know of. I can't remember the author's name.
Richard Louv. I had a wonderful conversation with him recently, as a matter of fact.
Well, tell our audience a little bit about what he discovered, because for me, I thought that he summarized the urgency of why it's so important to introduce natural education into the schools and the cities and the counties everywhere in this country.
Well, that book that you're referring to, he sort of coined the term nature deficit disorder. And while some people may feel like that's kind of too strong a buzzword, I think that he was making an important connection to, you know, his book covers lots and lots of research and compares the time and quality of experiences that children had in natural places, you know, decades ago versus the pace of society today and how that's impacting kids. And he has a number of studies that he points to, some of them linking ADHD, you know, the symptoms, if you will, or behaviors that sometimes come out of that drop way down. They drop dramatically when children go outside. And it has to do with, you know, the whole body activity that you're doing when you're outside and the smells and the, you know, it's just so, such a different way to learn and engage your senses and your mind, and just, you know, he's really shed some light on, mm-hmm. on the topic, I think, at just the right
time.
When I
saw a video, a documentary on his book and on his life work, and I was just so grateful to see that this is making the rounds of the world, because it showed so much that even kids who grow up in the city with just cement and have no experience with nature or trees and don't even know what it sounds like to hear, you know, crickets or to hear birds singing, and when they're given the opportunity just to be in nature, they all described a change about themselves. So that, for instance, youth who were extremely prone to violence found from being in natural settings over the weekend or a week or a summer were changed by it. And the kids themselves talked about how it made them feel better about themselves. Those were the words. It made me feel better about myself. And this divorce from nature has had such serious ramifications for our entire planet. You know, to think that nature is somehow or other separate from us and that it can be exploited and dominated and utilized for whatever we want, we're paying the price now.
Well, I mean, and I think those are really good points. And I would also add that, just again, I think food is a connecting piece of
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if the guest from Chaim Farm was also speaking about that, you know, because the seasonal aspect of food that is, you know, grown in our own area.
Yeah.
You know, if you're attuned to that, then you're more likely to appreciate the seasons and the farms and, you know, just how we fit into that. But I think even just the way that we, you know, that we purchase food and go
sure.
about that can
It profoundly affects the world. And I think when people finally do, just as an exercise to everybody listening in the audience, next time you go grocery shopping and you buy your produce, ask yourself, is this seasonal? And is it regional? And could I get this somewhere in Maryland, or is it coming from Hawaii or China or Japan? And the Macrobiotic Foundation of Misho Kushi was the one to first sort of popularize the ancient understanding of eating locally, seasonally, and organically. And so fortunately that there is also, it's so interesting to me that the 30-something set and the 20-something set are so deliberate now about food to table, that farm to table, that they understand. And even now, finally, you know, the old guard dies, and then what's always been apparent for the last 50 years gets in the literature. But they're finally talking about the influence of red meat on health, how horrible it is, and soda, how much it can lead to deficient thinking and acting, and even the connection between soda, aspartame, and Alzheimer's. So, you know, when I think 20 years ago or 15 years ago, when I talked about this stuff and people looked at me like cross-eyed, now to see that it's in the mainstream press occasionally is a wonderful thing. Well, look, we're going to be out of time, and I want to leave you the opportunity to touch on any things about Irvine Nature Center that we haven't touched on.
Well, I will point out that at Irvine Nature Center, you can also join a CSA, and you can have your pickup spot right there at the Nature Center. So if you're looking for a really easy way to get some local fruits and veggies in your diet, then that would be an easy way to do it.
Well, so do you all still, because Kiam also has one and theirs is filled, except for maybe one slot, do you still have availability in your CSA?
I believe we do. I think you would want to go and double check on the website and follow the contact info there. But I believe that they are still, yes, accepting.
So that's explorenature.org, www.explorenature.org for the Irvine Nature Center. Now, you had mentioned, Monica, that you also have young children or a child.
I do.
And
I have one little boy.
And so do you test out these different practices on your son first?
All the time.
And so what
does he
like? I mean,
I do. And the creation of the Nature Preschool has been, I think, a real... besides just a wonderful new thing for the community, again, it's been a way for me to take a lot of the energy and the thought that I take in, you know, raising my own child and trying to infuse that into the Nature Preschool so that other people can get the type of quality learning that I really want for my own son.
Mm-hmm. And so when the children have these experiences, give us what do they say? I mean, we're talking about 2, 3, and 4-year-olds. What are they observing about nature or themselves?
Yes, it's ages 3 to 5, and they are just having these wonderful, wholesome experiences. They're coming home covered in mud after an afternoon of looking for tadpoles, you know, and they're just looking closely and noticing the sound of the wind or noticing, you know, a broken tree and, you know, where there's a cavity for an animal to live. They're using our fabulous outdoor classroom space where there's lots of different learning areas for kids to explore. And they're doing it while we're paying attention to, you know, picking up a twig that looks like the letter Y. So, you know, they're getting this great, you know, foundation in learning, and they're doing it outdoors.
Well, let me encourage our listening audience to follow up, either be a volunteer, send your children, your grandchildren, go for a day, go to one of their events. Pumpkin Fest is a blast.
Yeah.
And there's also, I know you all rent for people looking for a natural setting for a wedding or a private party or some other kind of event. That I like the idea of an adult sleepover out in the woods. I think the wigwam will be reinstalled.
We do have family campouts. I think there was one just this weekend, but throughout the summer, those are, that would be something to look for. And but we do rent the facility, and lots of people have had some beautiful, beautiful weddings at our site, not to mention, you know, bar and bat mitzvahs and all different kinds of parties.
Children's birthday parties. You do a lot
of different things. Yes, well, we do a lot of children's birthday parties as well. There's nearly 20 different themes that families could choose from. So there's all sorts of different fun things that kids could do for their parties at Irvine.
Well, it sounds great. I want to thank you, Monica, for taking the time to join us. Again, if you are interested in their upcoming Explore Nature Preschool Conference, it's June 8th through 9th. Follow up at explorenature.org. You can call Irvine at 443-738-9200. Earlier in the hour, we were joined by Lisa Bodsner, who's Director of Special Programs at Kiam Farm. They're on Mount Gilead Road, way out north, just past Reisterstown. Go www.kayamfarm.org. That's KAYAM farm.org. Their phone number is 410-429-4400. And I think if you all listen to the whole hour, you can understand why I think these two organizations are so important to our state and a wonderful addition to our Baltimore County. And I encourage all of you to take advantage of what they have to offer.
Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna be just fine if we only will. All I really mean to say is shout.
Talk around the clock and breaking news now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM Baltimore and WCBM.com.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa.